Okay. Let's first learn the sugya.
Which I said?
And sure. Okay. We'll start by learning the sugya. And then, after analyzing the sugya, I'll try to tell you why it is that I want to do it with you. Okay? Rather than before. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm. That?
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Gemara in Sanhedrin. Famous Gemara in the 8th Perek. In the midst of the Yaharik Valyavor, etc., Sugya, says as follows. I'm Rav Yehuda Merav. Maaseh ba'adam echad shenatan einav ishachat ve'la libo tinam. This person, this man, was obsessed with a certain woman. Uval v'sha'alu l'rofim. He goes and he asks the doctors, what should he do? Amru ein lo takana ad shetibel. He has to have relations with her. It's the only solution. That was what the doctor said. Amru chachamim. Now the chachamim are apparently asked. Okay? In other words, I don't know, he, she, whatever, but someone first goes to the doctors. And the answer the doctors give, ein lo takana ad shetibel. When the chachamim are asked, they say, yamut va'al tibael lo. Say, no, he should die and not have relations with her. Okay, the next suggestion was Tamod Lufanav Aruma. The answer was, notice that was the next question that was asked of Chachamim, and the answer given was Yamut Va'al Tamod Lufanav Aruma. Third stage, okay, if the rabbis are not allowing even that, Tisaperi Momeh Chore HaGader, let them speak to each other across the fence, the machitza, whatever. Say, no, yamut velo tisaper imo me'achor ha'gadar. Gemara continues. Pliba, Rav Yaakov bar Idi, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Chad amar eshet ish haita. V'chad amar pnui haita. There are two versions of the story, whether she was married or single. So bishmal ma'ad amar eshet ish haita shabir. Halman da amar pnui haita. Mai kule hai. What's this? She's a pnuya. What's going on? Rav Papa Amar Mishum Pkam Mishvacha. Rav Acha Breid Rav Ika Amar Kidei Shelo Yehu Benot Yisrael Prutzot Barayot. Okay. Then the Gemara asks, "Linsa Minsa." So why don't they just get married? So the Gemara says, "Lo Mitzvah Daite." He wouldn't be satisfied with that. That wouldn't make him feel better. Kidei Rav Yitzchak Amar Yitzchak Miyom Shachar Beit Hamikdash Nitla Tam Bia Benitna Ovri Avera Shneamar. Mayim gnuvim yimtaku v'lechem sitarim yinan. Okay, an incredible, incredible Gemara, right? Incredible Gemara. Did you people enjoy this? Did you have a good time with this Gemara?
We learned it in Tarim
Sinai. Oh, okay. So I hope there's not going to be repetition.
Oh. Not sure, I'm doubtful.
We didn't do the second part of it.
You
go into the first.
Okay.
I've never done
there are many. Okay, there are many discussions, particularly in Achronim, of this Gemara and what it means. Rav Yaakov Emden has an important analysis of this Gemara in Migdal Oz, and Sefer Migdal Oz, and no connections to the Midrashah. But in any case, but he has an important discussion of it, and there are many, many wonderful insights and explanations for what's going on to the Gemara. I'm not here to give you a catalog of them. But what I do want to do for a few minutes, much for a few minutes, is to just look at some of the issues in the Gemara and one perspective on the Gemara that I think emerges from one of the great Rishonim, namely the Rambam. Let's start with Gemara. What questions do you have? First, the first step is, of course, and we learn something. First thing we have to do is to see what issues, what questions, what don't we understand? Okay, what questions are the tools for understanding more deeply? So let's start with that. What are the questions we have in this Gemara? What questions we have in this Gemara? No, I told you that you're not Yotzei learning this Gemara if you don't have any questions. You can't learn this Gemara and not have any questions. Come on, what are your questions? Go ahead.
Why is it better for him to die than like even talk to her over a fence?
Number one, even if she's an Eshet Ish, and certainly if she's a Pnuya, It's rather remarkable that this is Yehari Bal Yavra. That's an incredible thing. I'm not saying that they'll say Yechinami, but that's a huge chiddush, to say the least, that Yavud Val Tzabar Imam Achara, God, that's incredible. Like, why is that Yehari Bal Yavra? Okay, that's one good question. What else? What other questions do we have in this Gemara? What else? Yes?
What's going on at the end of 28? Like, I don't understand why marrying her wouldn't work, given that, especially the Pasuk, it seems like a very strange conclusion. And what is the big thing that destruction has to do with any of it?
Okay, and that would be a whole separate discussion, so I'm not going to go there. It's a very, certainly something we want to understand, but it's kind of, I think, parenthetical and tangential, so I'm going to leave that out of our discussion. And certainly if one's learning the Gemara, that's something we want to understand, and Beseder. Yeah, and there I did my first one discuss. Yeah, go ahead.
That Rav Papa says, Mishum Dam Mishpacha, that's not a good... You think, that's not a reason.
Okay.
If you want to say, whatever, there are a lot of things you could say that are a lot more severe.
The chiddush that Gam Mishpacha should be Yehar Gvayavor, right?
Right.
That's right? To put it in the slightly halachic term, that's what you said. Ain't nothing else. Okay. What else? Yes.
Mine is just an in general question. It's not really halakhic or anything. It's just how is this a problem? It's just weird. That I'm obsessed with her, and then the only solution is to have relations with her. I guess that just doesn't happen. So
By the way, I have to tell you, that's what you think. I know of a case. I know of a case where there was a person, and he was married. There was a man, he was married, and there was this other woman, and his psychiatrist, whatever, gave precisely the prescription of the doctors here. So it shows how little has changed. It's a good question. I'm not qualified to answer that question. However, saying he was so obsessed that I don't know what it means. It means that he wasn't sleeping properly, wasn't eating properly, I don't know exactly how he's going to die. I don't know. That this is not a normal case here. And that may indeed be relevant, but okay. Not too much I can say about that, but certainly hear what you're saying. What else? Yes, what do you have to say?
Did he ask the rabbis
It's not explicit in the Gemara whether he asked or not. I don't know whether, I would assume, not with certainty, but I would assume that he asked the Mishael, because otherwise, I don't know, it certainly sounds that way, because it's certainly from the continuation of the Gemara where it says that when he got a no, when they said no, I should say, when they said no, then there seems to be another suggestion. So I don't know, I would assume, but I don't know. That's kind of not in the Gemara per se, but I guess, someone must be bringing the question before them. I don't know for sure who it is. Presumably, he was the one who's bringing the question. I would think that that's the case. That's the assumption I'm working with. Yes? Okay. What does it mean? Okay, Beseda. Yes.
When it says he's gonna die, is that literal? Or is that it's killing me? You know what I mean?
Right. I think that it's generally taken to be literal. Okay? I think it's generally understood to be literal, although not necessarily true. Meaning that some say that Enochinami, that's what the doctor said, but doesn't mean that that's really true.
Right?
In other words, part of the question is, do we really believe what the doctor is saying? And one of the reasons it's called the question is exactly the fact that they... Right, exactly. Okay, so we're coming to some great achronim. In any case, we're not going to discuss that part of it now, but absolutely that is a factor. But again, as I said, we're not going to try to discuss every possible, but that's certainly a factor there. Yes? Nothing else? No other questions you had, Gemara? It's one question that I'm surprised no one has asked yet. Yes?
Also, it annoys me that, like, if he really needs to have her, then why can't he just marry her? Like, why don't have the same effect, maybe, but, like, that just annoys me. Like, if you're going to die, then do something to help yourself if this is really such a problem.
Well, there are two versions of the story.
There's one that says,
if she's an Eish HaDish, it's easier to understand the whole thing. The Gemara itself says if she's not an Eish HaDish, it's the Incy Wincy Spider.
Did you see what happened?
What?
I don't know. I don't understand.
Okay. Go ahead. Yes.
Why is the woman so willing to, like,
doesn't say anything about it.
Doesn't say anything about it.
She's willing.
He says she knows what's going on.
I know.
It's all about her, but she
didn't
like doing
it. Okay, I'd like to reformulate the comments, starting with yours, and for a moment. And that is, one question we might want to ask is, what did she have to say about this? Right? Did she agree, not agree? Does it matter? Is that relevant in the story? One would think that that would be of interest somehow in this whole, right? And yet that's not discussed at all. Okay, and that's a very, very, it's an erchinami. Is that a unfair restatement of your question, or is that okay? Okay, okay. So just to, you know, may state a little bit, you know, strong. And where's the factor of what she had to say about this? That, you know, how does that? Whatever it is, but one would think that that would be somewhat relevant here, and somehow that's conspicuously absent from the Gemara. It's a very interesting factor in the Gemara. Okay, any other questions on the Gemara before we move on? I'm satisfied to move on, but if you have other questions, this is Mucha. Any further questions? Yeah, okay. Okay. What do you have to say about the Rambam? What's your reaction to the Rambam? Yes.
He doesn't tell all the details that are in the Gemara.
Like, true. Okay.
So, like,
because the Rambam is not the Gemara.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But say, what are you bothered that he leaves out?
Like, he leaves out. Wait, actually, I should probably check that I heard it right. Yeah, he leaves out the middle step that, like, seeing her naked. Like, he just, like, goes from, like, sleeping with her to.
Right, because it's efficient right. Probably to say the extremes. You know what I'm saying? In terms of form, you know, so the Gemara is telling us the whole story. Right. Rambam is just telling us what the halacha is.
Right, but he it's not like he was concerned about words, because he said twice the whole, like, seeing her behind the gedar thing.
That is true. Okay, and so to reformulate, what we're saying, the Rambam has a certain focus here. Right, the Ram has a certain focus here, and that's definitely significant. Yes, what else do you notice about the Ram? What do you have to say about the Ram? What's your reaction?
He takes it as a principle. Like, meaning, like, we're not going to teach them it's okay, because as a principle, girls aren't hefker.
Okay.
So just, like, it depends on the boy and girls.
Explain to me what you're saying. I know you're saying something important here, but seriously, I'm not clear on what you're saying. Yeah, what are you saying?
He says, like, Ain more in Lobaka, but Imo below Yoru Ladabarima, meaning, like, we're not gonna teach him, like, to say yes, like, I feel like it's more than just halachically, but, like, principally. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you can also shall hefker. Like,
okay.
But it's not just that, like, whatever, this leads to this, but, like, principally.
Okay, I think you're onto something. I mean, we have to clap a little bit. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, go ahead.
I think the reason that the Rambam adds is that, like, Shalei Hubinos Shal Hefker, that he's saying that like, kind of like what Eliana's saying, that the girls aren't just, like, Hefker, you can come and take and have what you want. Like, they're like, human beings, they're people.
Correct, yes, go ahead.
So, I think that what he's taking from the Gemara is the fact that, I mean, it's sad that they don't mention what the girl has to say in this, and he's saying, like, they're not hefker, and you have to hear what they have to say, and they have an opinion, and they have what they, you know, like, they have what they want also, and, like, put them
okay
into the equation.
Okay. I think that you're onto something also. I would agree with part of what you're saying, and part of it I'm not sure about. But okay, but that's, I mean, you know, what I'm thinking more about. I have a hesitation about part of what you're saying. Simply, you're right. But notice the Rambam, like the Gemara, does not say anything about what she has to say. Right? correct?
Yeah, but his whole thing about Bnei Yisrael.
No, I understand that, and that is something the Rambam has, and it's very important. I don't understand that for a minute, and I think it has exactly the implication that you're saying, but not in exactly the same way. My point is, I'm just saying that what isn't in the Rambam, and let's be clear, what isn't is not in the Rambam. What is not in the Rambam is what she might have to say about it. Okay, that's not in the Rambam, correct? Is that fair? Am I being unfair?
No.
Oh. Does your client agree with you?
It's always funny when someone asks a rhetorical question, but then nobody answers.
Okay. Okay. Other reactions to the Rambam? Yes.
I think it's completely misreading this Rambam. Like, it doesn't. You mentioned it doesn't even say mention her at all, but it also doesn't say that she can't talk to him. It says he can't talk to her. Like, it doesn't, in or in low, will you, the value, like, it's talking about him, it's not talking about her at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that is true. Again, I agree with part of what you said, but not all. But I'll explain why when we get on. Yes?
It takes up the whole, Chachamim director. Like, it doesn't say the Chachamim said he can't do it at all.
Well, I think that I hear what you're saying, where I think where the Ram has the Chachamim is when he talks about Ein Morin Lo, right? Who is going to be Morin or not? That's what, right? Presumably. And again, part of it is because the Rambam is codifying and the Gemara is telling a story. What else? The Rambam adds a huge element which really, I think is, now I'm not saying it's not Pshat in the Gemara, I think it is Pshat in the Gemara, but it's something that is not obvious in the Gemara, it gives us a particular perspective. What do you want to say?
No, I'm saying, that she was single.
Well, that we already talked about, yeah.
No, that ways. She's single, and then, she doesn't...
He right, you're saying that even in that case, right, because he passed, the Seder, there's something the Rambam says and emphasizes that let's contrast for a moment, okay? The Rambam and the Gemara are both saying clearly that tough luck, he has to die, right? That's clear, right? He has to die rather than what? Let's take a specific case, okay? So if you learn the Gemara, one might say that the rather than is rather than they have this conversation, correct? Pick that example, okay? Correct? Is that true? But if you look at the Rambam, that's not what the Rambam says.
That's
not what the Rambam says. I don't think that's what the Rambam says. Read the Rambam again carefully. What's the rather than? The Rambam, I think, emphasizes this quite clearly. What's the rather than? In other words, what can't we allow to happen? In other words, if you read the Gemara, let me just explain my question for a second and then I want to hear your reaction. What I'm asking is like this. If you read the Gemara, it's saying, if you ask, what is Yehared Vayavor in this story? What's Yehared Vayavor is the having the conversation or the, her standing before him naked or whatever the particular case, but that's what can't happen. That's what we can't allow to happen. But look at the Rambam again. What does the Rambam say can't happen? Yes. That's already a step further. Okay. Look at the Rambam again. And I think Shai is absolutely right. Take a look inside. Okay. Yamut ve'al tibala afilu l'daber ima me'achori ha'gader. Rambam doesn't continue and say, Al yidaber imo, me'achori ha'gad. He says, ein morin lo bekach. We don't give him such a psak. V'yamut, and then the Rambam repeats, he should die rather than what? He said, better he die than that they have this conversation, right? That's what one would expect the end of the sentence would be. But v'lo yoru l'daber ima me'achori ha'gad. And I think that's critical. The Rambam is giving a critical insight into the whole Gemara. I think the Rambam is saying, and judge for yourself, but this is what I think the Rambam is saying. Let's flesh out the issue for a moment. Let's imagine like this. Look at the what if for a moment, okay? Let's look at the alternative scenario. This guy goes and he goes to his doctor psychologist, whatever he goes to. He goes to his medical, healthcare professional, and his doctor gives him a note, a prescription saying, this is what has to happen, right? Whatever the case, whatever the stage, let's say the conversation, you know, across the machitza, whatever it is. Okay, that's his prescription. They have to go on a date. Okay, well, whatever, right? They have to go on a date. That's the prescription from the doctor. He then goes to his Rav, and he says to the Rav, my doctor says, right? It's like, you know, you go to the doctor, and the doctor says that you're not able to fast because, you know, at this stage of pregnancy and your condition, etc., you know, you can't fast on Yom Kippur, and you go to your Rav and say, okay, what do I do with this? And then he says, you know, what? So don't fast, or whatever it is he says. So this person goes to his rabbi and says, okay, this is what the doctor said. What's the psak? And the Rav says, you have a note from your doctor saying that this is what I have. Okay, beseda, that's what you have to do. You have to do what the doctor told you. I'm saying this is not what the Gemara said. I'm saying if the Gemara were to say otherwise. I'm just giving you the other side of the coin so we can better understand what the Gemara is saying. Okay? So please be very clear. This is not what the Gemara says. This is a totally imaginary scenario that isn't what the Gemara is saying we don't. But imagine for a moment, the man goes to, Mr. Obsessed here, goes to the doctor gives him a note, goes to his rabbi, countersigns the note and says, mutter. Okay? Mutter, pikuach nefesh, mutter. Not only mutter, it's a mitzvah, you have to, you know, shmatim ol nafshal techem, whatever, okay, beseder. He takes the note, and what's the next step? Now he has his note. What does he do? He now goes to
the doctor.
He went to the doctor already. He went to the rabbi. He now has the signed note by the doctor and the rabbi. Where does he go now?
The girl.
Now goes to the girl. And he hands her the note and says, my doctors say that if we don't go out, if we don't have a conversation, or whatever, take whatever scenario you'd like, but let's take a simple scenario. We don't go out, then I'm going to die. And the doctor prescribed that that's what I need to do in order to live, right? Otherwise I'm going to die. That's what the doctor says. And my rabbi agrees that this is mutter because it's pikuach nefesh, this is what's nesei v'chule. And he explains the situation to her and hands her the note. Okay? And what happens at that stage?
She
either agrees or doesn't. Okay. If she doesn't, then she's responsible for his death. Okay, so I
want to argue
that.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
Exactly the point. It is terrible. That's exactly the point. Understand. But let me explain for a moment. Let me explain for a moment. That I believe, and this is a separate discussion, but I believe that ethically and halachically, if he were to hand this note, which we don't give him this note, but were we to give him this note, he were to hand this note to her and say, okay, so are you willing to go out with me? And she were to say, no, I think you're disgusting. I don't want to go out with you. Then, I mean, let's not say that. If she were to say, oh, I think you're a wonderful person and I really would like to, but I'm involved in another relationship, and I can't, whatever she's going to say. Right? Whatever she's going to say, she said something mean. She said something in the nicest way possible. She said to him, she says, no, I'm sorry, I'm, you know, whatever. No, I'm sorry, I'm just not ready to go out. Whatever. Whatever she's going to say to him, you know, that's not offensive, whatever. And he therefore goes ahead and dies. Okay? Were that to happen, so two things. Number one is, I'm convinced that both ethically and halachically, she is in no way whatsoever responsible for his death.
So she will feel responsible.
However, right, absolutely. The second point is that if she says no and he dies, there's no question that most people, I'm not saying they should, but most people would feel enormously guilty afterwards. And more than likely that she's going to say yes in the first place because they're like, what am I going to do? I don't really want to go out with him, but, you know, I'm not going to be the cause of his death. It's not so terrible, so I'll talk to him for 2 hours. Okay, I'll survive. And I'll save his life. And, you know, what the halacha says, what the Gemara says, as interpreted by the Rambam, and I think this is really the Pshat in the Gemara, is that there's the whole point of the Gemara is that she doesn't have a response, that she doesn't give an answer. Why? Because chas v'shalom, that she should have to answer one way or the other. That's the worst thing in the world. In other words, that she should be put in a position where she's going to have to answer and say, I'm willing, I'm not willing. Imagine for a moment putting yourself in that position. Think that would be the worst thing in the world, right? And this is where, Ty, this is where we come to your point, that's exactly the point of Shelo Yu Benot Yisrael Hefker, because that's exactly what it would amount to from a psychological perspective. In other words, it would mean that then she doesn't have the opportunity as a person to say, no, yes, I want to, I don't want to. That's exactly the point, right? Were she to be asked the question in this way, right, with this note from the doctor, the note from the rabbi, saying that we all believe that this is really true, that really it's pikuach nefesh. So I'm not saying that literally she has no choice, because she does, but from psychological, but I mean, she, halachically, I think she absolutely has a choice, but psychologically, it's a terrible position to put someone in, and it means that, you know, it's a tremendous tool. And we know, and this is the continuation of the story. We know full well, right, that if we were to indeed give such a hara, two things would happen. Number one is that this particular woman would be placed in a very terrible and unfair situation, number one. And number two is, we know that this disease, that this psychological disease that this guy has, would become an epidemic, right? Those two things are barur, right? The point is that what does the Rambam say, therefore? And I think the Rambam is saying this is the Pshat in the Gemara. Daber imo me'achorei agada. That's Yehareg Val Yavo. It's ridiculous. What's Yehareg Val Yavo? Because they're going to have a conversation and she's a Pnuya. And so therefore he should die. The Rambam says, no, that's not the point. What is the point here? Ein morim lo bekach. The point is not, the Easter that we're discussing is not the conversation. The Easter is not the discussion. It's not that's not the point. I'm not discussing whether it's okay, not okay, whether it's, you know, us or much, but that this is Yargo, that's not the issue, says the Rambam. Not that we don't continue by saying he can't speak to her, or she can't speak to him. We continue by saying, in morim lo bakach. We don't give him such a psak. V'yamut, rather than what? V'yamut, not rather than speak to each other. V'yamut, v'lo yoru l'daber imam me'achorei agadar. Because if we're going to give such a hurrah, if we're going to validate such a claim, it may objectively, scientifically be true or not true. We don't care whether it's true or not true. We have to say, if he goes to the rabbi with the doctor's note saying this, what must the rabbi say? I'm sorry, I don't believe you. I think the doctor's a quack. I don't believe that this is true. Not because we know better than the doctor, but because from an ethical point of view, it's a terrible thing to validate such a thing, because it hands him an unfair weapon, and he's going to be able to hold a gun to her head from a psychological point of view. And even if she's strong enough psychologically to say, no, I'm sorry, I don't care, you know, if you die, that's your problem. But even if, which, you know, how many people are going to, then afterwards, if he really does die, and then she's going to feel guilty, we have to say, we don't accept it. We don't accept it. Ba'al yoru, right? Ba'al yoru, we don't give such a psak. And that's the issue. And that's exactly why the Gemara does not discuss whether she is agreeable to it or not agreeable. The whole point of the halacha is that we don't let it come to a situation where she's going to have to answer such a question, because it's horrible to have her answer such a question. You understand what the Rambam is saying? I really think it's found the Rambam. You read the Rambam, he says it more than, you know, he says two times for the Rambam, that's already extremely verbose, right? Everyone knows the Rambam. This is, you know, as you said, the Rambam seems to be going on and on. What's he going on and on about? Rambam is making clear what the Pshat in the Gemara is. And it's implicit in the Gemara. And if, you know, again, I'm not saying it's the only way to learn the Gemara, but it certainly is a way to understand the Gemara. Yes?
So why does the Gemara, like, give that as a reason?
I think it does. That's the Rambam goes on to explain that the, what does it say? That's Shelo Yu Benot Yisrael Prusa Bar Rayot. And that's, as Rambam says, that the whole point is that what's going to happen? Because then Benot Yisrael, you have Ger, and that's exactly there are other aspects of Gemara and other things to discuss, but so I just want to focus on one point that I think is very important. Everyone understand what I said? The Seder? Yes? Yushalmi and Shvi, it's a very, very important Yushalmi. Very important Yushalmi. A bunch of years ago, the wife of one of a very old friend of mine and an old chavrusa of mine, his wife, the Talmidah of mine from many, many, many years ago, and I said many, many years ago, and she went on to be a very fine teacher in Mechule, and at a certain point, when earlier on in her teaching, so she asked me interesting question. She said, like, how do you know when you're deciding you're going to give a shiur on something in Tanakh? She taught Tanakh. So she said, you know, when you're deciding you want to give a shiur on Tanakh, how do you decide what to work on? How do you decide what perek, what section, what inyan is going to, you know, end up being, you know, you're going to have something, you know, meaningful to say, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be something really good, whatever. How do you know ahead of time, before you start working on it, like, how to choose, like, you know, okay, I'm going to give a shiur on perek X before you start to prepare. And my honest answer to her was that I don't think there's such a thing as parts of Tanakh that are worth learning, parts that are not, part of worth teaching, part of not. I think, it doesn't mean that there aren't priorities or things you want to get to or things that, you know, you... But what you have, you know, something meaningful to say about it has not to do with the particular part of Torah that you're teaching, but has to do with what amount of effort you put in, how, whether you've worked on it yet or not. And so as far as I'm concerned, there aren't better prakim and worse prakim. There are prakim that I've worked on, prakim I haven't worked on, and, you know, and that's the basic answer. And that's basically Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, Nevrai Mana, commenting on the pasuk at the end of Sefer Dvarim, the end of Hazinu, Kilo davar reku mikem, that the Torah is not something empty, right? And the continuation of the phrase is mikem. And there's a very famous play on this in Chazal. Shalmi says, ve'im reku, and it's not davar reik. It continues, mikem, meaning that, and if it is davar reik, mikem, lama, she'ena temigeim bo. I think that if we learn Torah, if we learn Halacha properly, if we learn it with sensitivity and with insight and with depth and not just chafif, and I think we really learn Omek, that if we learn it properly, there's just like halacha is the source of ethics and morality, etc., for us. And not that everything is discussed in halacha, but it gives us a direction, as the Ramban says. You know, it says that, of course, that a major part of Torah is the aspect of the Kedoshim to you, of the Lifnim Mishrat HaDin B'chulei, is that which is, and so the Ramban says, the Torah can't articulate what to do in every single case, halacha doesn't tell us what to do in every single case. It gives us a kivun, it gives us a direction. If we really understand it, we have to understand it la'omek, it's kihu chayichem, but when we really work to understand it properly. And with davar reik, it's mikem, person has to learn Torah with the desire that it teach us how to live, that it teach us what kind of human beings to be, that we understand that it's going to affect all of our life, not just how we act in the Beis Medrash or in the Shul or in context X, Y, or Z that we view as a religious context, but throughout our lives, in our relationships with our spouses and our children and our parents, and not just in terms of technical halacha, but what we gain from them. This Gemara, to my mind, is a beautiful example of it, where one can read the Gemara superficially and it's just like, what? What in the world? It's the most bizarre thing in the world. But if you really learn La'omek, and, you know, and Gemara and the Rishonim, and think about it, and really, and try to derive from it the beauty that's contained within, the Ma'or Shabbat, as I'll call it, so I think that this Gemara, again, you can read through this Gemara in our scroll and not get anything from it, other than, you know, being puzzled. Or you can really learn it. And I think that, I hope that this is an example of how one can really gain a tremendous insight in how we're supposed to relate to other people, to other human beings, whether it's, you know, males related to females, vice versa, or in general, to other, just on other human beings, bechlal, as people and not as objects. And I think that that's something that's the core of this whole sugya, if we understand. And that's what I think the Rambam highlights for us. But again, you have to read it carefully, you have to learn it, you have to delve into it. And then halacha becomes a wonderful source of musar. I would argue that halacha studied properly is the best source of musar. I'm not the only one who thinks that, but anyhow, but it's the best source of musar, but it has to be done properly. And I wanted to just give this as an example of something where I think we see that, and hopefully as a kind of a pointing of a kivun, and we're showing you something innately valuable as well in terms of this particular sugya. Okay, we will move on, Bezrat Hashem, to another topic next time. We did well. We got in more than an entire topic in one day. Isn't that impressive? Okay.